Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks so much for being with us here on the DA Show. If you're a UCF fan, I encourage you to stick around for the 20 minutes past the hour segment, because we will discuss incoming Brandon Wimbush and if this is a signal that UCF is officially a big-time college football program, Wimbush transferring from Notre Dame to UCF. What does it mean for the quarterback? What does it mean for the Knights? Now, AFC title game coming up on Sunday. It looks like it's going to be frigid conditions. And we were discussing earlier that with the Patriots having developed over the course of the season into a power ground game, power run offense, that they might be best suited for dealing with the weather. But the issue is that, number one, Andy Reid's offense has consistently put up big numbers against Belichick's D in the last couple of years that they faced one another. And that when it comes to the ages of the quarterbacks, it would seem as though if it's going to be in the teens and wind chill in the single digits and a freezing cold night in Kansas City, that the guy who's 41 years old is going to probably feel the effects of that cold more than a guy that's in his early 20s. It's just the way our bodies have all adjusted, the way that our bodies have all aged and evolved. Older you get, the cold is not your friend. The harder it is to deal with freezing cold temperatures. It's harder to deal with a draft in your house when you're up there in years versus what you are when you're a kid or in your teens or 20s. When you're in college, it seems like fun. Take off your shirt, go out to the game, paint your chest, drink freezing cold beer. You're like, yeah! Thinking about doing that in your 40s, your 50s? Take off your shirt outside? What are you, crazy? I'll lose a limb. No. No chance. No thank you. You look at cold weather now on TV and say, I'm not going outside. 18 years old, put me out in the elements. I don't even have to wear a jacket, t-shirt, and gloves. I'm out there, and I'm good. Dad need me to shove the porch? Fine. I'm doing it in a t-shirt. Now I look at cold weather. No thanks. I'm good. I like being warm. 41 years old, Tom Brady has been impeccable in his health. And Tom Brady deserves a lot of credit for extending his career. But getting smashed to the turf by defensive lineman or a linebacker coming up on Sunday, I've got to feel affects the 41-year-old quarterback more than the guy that's in his early 20s. Got to think so. Tweets coming in. D.A. Rob tweets, I recall watching Brady in the playoff win over Tennessee last year saying how cold he looked on the sideline. He'd played in a few colder games, but that was the first time at age 40 where I'd seen him complain. The cold did seem to affect him more as he's grown older. I'm with you on this theory. Kyle tweets, DA, how does Mraz remember that his dad has never been the same health-wise since the 96 Yankees opening day? Number two, I'm not even wearing a jacket today in Oklahoma, but me and my old man are already getting tickets to Kansas City for the game. What's the over-under for layers for us? Coldest game I've ever been to. I've been to two freezing cold games in my life that I really felt like, what am I doing here? Number one, I went to a Syracuse football game at Notre Dame. So it was my only time at Notre Dame Stadium. It was one of the last games of the season. And it was, there was a snowstorm that hit South Bend the day before. And so we were tailgating in the snow. And then in the stadium on the wooden benches, our feet were in the snow because they had not removed all the snow from where the aisles are. And by the end of the game, even with boots and layers and socks, I could not feel any of my extremities, specifically my feet. It was absolutely miserable, even though Syracuse ended up winning on a last-second field goal. Number two, Stadium Series, outdoor NHL game, Yankee Stadium 4 years ago. I bought tickets for my brother for Christmas, so he and I went, and it was single digits, and it was played at night, and up in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium where the wind was whipping. I wore two pairs of pants, three pairs of socks, two hats. Had to have a hat underneath my hat, and probably four layers on my body, and I was still cold. As soon as it was over, I was like, let's get the hell out of here. Let's go. So, Mraz, how many layers does Kyle need to wear coming up on Sunday to go to this game?
I jokingly said five, but it's at least three. At least three.
Minimum three.
Minimum three. And that is, I would go tights, I would go thermal pants, and I would go jeans over them.
Thermal tights on your actual skin. You got to wear top and bottom thermals.
Keep everything tight on you like that. And then I would go some kind of, you know, sweatshirt look of pants and upper body, and then heavy jacket and a heavy pair of jeans. And it's got to be boots, and it's got to be double socked, and I would even wrap a plastic bag around your feet as well to trap the heat in.
The feet could be the most devastating part of the day because you're going to be outdoors if you tailgate a little bit for 4 or 5 hours. Outdoors, I don't care if you got two layers of socks on and great boots. Your toesies, those little piggies, are going to get real cold.
Your piggies will get real cold. Here's a little life hack for you as well. You're going to be out there tailgating, I'm sure. You know, beer boxes, soda boxes. Break off some cardboard, bring it with you, and lay it on the concrete to put down on your feet, because that cold concrete will just be like putting your feet on a block of ice. That even that little bit will make a world of difference.
That's absolutely right. D.A., Tom Brady's going to freeze on Sunday. Have you seen the size of his jacket? He could house a family of four inside that mansion. He does have a big jacket. That's a really big jacket. It feels like he's got like two giant cardboard boxes, like soda cases, on each shoulder pad. Jacob tweets, look at the Patriots draft class this year. They've been a power running team all season. They're certainly going to try to do it again coming up on Sunday. You know that. They don't want Brady in that weather driving back to pass 40 times. There is no way that they want to see that. So Brady made interesting comments last week to Jim Gray. We're talking about his health and how he has withstood the test of time, and he has been incredible in playing this well this late into his career. Better than any quarterback has ever played this late. Warren Moon played this late into his career, but not really at this high of a level. And Brady has always had some interesting theories about why. He spoke to Jim Gray.
Your body gets used to the hits. You know, the brain understands the position that you're putting your body into. And my brain is wired for contact. I would say in some ways it's become callous to some of the hits. And, you know, based on all the pliability treatments I do, you know, my muscles just absorb the forces and disperse the forces as well as they ever have. So I take hits better now at 41 than I did when I was 25.
I think Brady has convinced himself that he's a god. And all of this effort he has put into his health needs to be applauded. He has played greater, longer into his career than anybody ever has. And I am not here to criticize the performance. The performance is obvious. He is getting it done. It is obvious that he's still getting it done at a very high level. Even if it's not Brady of 4 years ago, it's still a really high level of execution. But when you're saying my brain is now wired for contact, come on. Come on. That his brain is now callous to collisions? I mean, that sounds like wackadoo stuff. That he has convinced himself through the TB12 method that he cannot be hurt, which, as we know, is ridiculous. You don't have to be a scientist to know that that's ridiculous. There are times Tom Brady sounds like a cult leader. Like, I cannot be hurt. I have trained my mind. I cannot be hurt. Either way, it sounds insensitive at least for Brady to say, I'm immune to being hurt. I'm immune. My brain is wired to disperse the contact. When you have guys dealing with CTE, brain trauma, health effects after their career, it is at the very least insensitive to say, my brain's wired. I don't know about your brain, essentially. Hey, I trained my brain. Ted Johnson won 3 Super Bowls with Tom Brady and the Patriots. 3 of them, 01, 03, 04. Ted Johnson, one of the most important pieces of that defense. Linebacker that put his head and his nose into a lot of plays to stop a lot of running game, to stop a lot of quarterbacks, stop a lot of wide receivers, a lot of tight ends. Ted Johnson paid the price of sticking his nose in things and has dealt with post-playing concussion problems and has been open about dealing with those things. And he told my old radio station, 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, when he heard of those comments from Brady, his quote was, when I heard of those comments, it made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. I had Ted Johnson join me on Sunday Morning Football this past week to look ahead to the Patriots and Chargers game. And I also asked him about his reaction to Brady's comments.
You know, you wonder what Junior Seau's family thinks about that, or Kevin Turner's family thinks about that, or what does Steve Gleason think when he hears those types of comments. I just feel like it's a little bit irresponsible for Tom to say that, a little bit misleading, because a lot of people care what Tom has to say. And so just somebody that's gone through that, I felt like it was a little bit out of lines for him to say that. Now, do I think he meant anything by it? Maybe he didn't. Maybe he wasn't thinking about those guys and when he was talking about it. Probably not. But he needs to start thinking about that, because there's a lot of guys that are suffering in silence and dealing with a lot of, issues from concussions from playing football. So it's just something that I'm very, emotional about, going through it myself. And so I just wish Tom would think about it a little bit more before he says things like that.
And that's Ted Johnson, who played with Tom Brady and won 3 Super Bowls with Tom Brady. And I think that's a fair way that Ted Johnson approached it, by saying he's probably not thinking about Andre Waters and Junior Seau and Mike Webster. He's not thinking about Dave Duerson and guys that their brains were so wrecked they took their own lives. But that he needs to be responsible when he talks about these things. And I think that that's absolutely right. I think Brady has entered into a stratosphere where he has played for so well for so long. He's been so successful. He's been called the GOAT. He's a 5-time champion. And he has been maniacal in his health, and I give him tons of credit for that, because, look, I would rather skew on the side of being really healthy than really unhealthy. But Tom has also entered a weird stratosphere where he has believed all of his own marketing. And it is, I think, made him, for that organization, as great as he is on Sundays, harder to deal with. And I think that's why there's been some flashpoints between him and Belichick. And I think that that's why we've read some of the stuff that we have. I think they both know you stay together for the kids. That Brady and Belichick both know we stay together because we're winning. And it's better to be together than apart. But that Brady's believing his own marketing has made him hard to deal with in a reality situation. I mean, look, Ted Johnson's right. This is arguably the greatest football player of all time saying, I've wired my brain for contact. My brain is callous to hits. Well, guess what? There's a lot of guys out there whose brains, for whatever reason, are not callous to hits and they're taking their own lives. You need to be really careful about how you're putting it out there, especially when you're not playing linebacker. Like, is Von Miller going to go out and say this? Is Luke Kuechly going to say, I've wired my brain for contact? Of course not, because those guys are really taking hits. And Tom Brady takes a hit or two a day on Sundays. He's not sticking his nose into piles trying to stop oncoming linebackers. Health is one thing. Brady's out of space cadet science on why he stayed this healthy for this long, I think, is as Ted Johnson said, slightly irresponsible. And that's a nice way of putting it. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, UCF. Officially a big-time program. I think now we got the evidence. And our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
It is the Volcano Pork Shank? Yeah, and Volcano Pork Shanks.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Volcano Pork Shanks.
What you think about that, DA?
I love that idea.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
Glad you're back with us here on a Wednesday morning, everybody. Remember, you can listen to the show across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, but then also on SiriusXM Channel 206. And our toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO, 855-212-4227. Again, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. He's got Adam Gase's eyes. Jimmy tweets, D.A. Adam Gase may have Betty Davis eyes, but Mraz definitely has hungry eyes. Mraz, how hungry are you today?
Fairly hungry. I just had some cantaloupe, but certainly wasn't anything fried, so I'm probably starving.
Yeah, cantaloupe ain't going to get it done for you, right?
No, it serves a purpose for a half an hour. After that, I'm good.
Aaron in NorCal tweets, Brady being impervious to getting smashed sounds like Mraz saying his Sunday Fun Fest meals won't make you fat. Hashtag puffiness with sodium.
Puffiness with sodium.
I don't follow. What won't make you fat about that?
Fat. Well, I think that you've at times tried to rationalize that perhaps the football food of the week isn't as unhealthy as people might think.
All right. I mean, I think we all know deep down I could paint it whatever way we want. You're getting fat by Monday morning. Fat.
So obviously with Adam Gase and his eyes, it brings up a lot of potential parody songs. And the great Al Dukes, producer of Boomer and Geo on the CBS Sports Network, has penned a few of them. And frankly, I could play this forever.
All the fans think he's surprised he's got Adam Gase's eyes.
If that's not stuck in your head all day long, all the fans think he's surprised he's got Adam Gase's eyes.
All the fans think he's surprised he's got Adam Gase's eyes.
The music tag is great, too.
But how about Adam Gase's eyes? They're watching you.
Adam Gase's eyes, they're watching you. They see your every move.
That's human ease.
Adam Gase's eyes, they're watching you. Adam Gase's eyes, they're watching you.
Watching you.
Watching you. Watching you.
That's the best one.
That's Al Dukes, producer of Boomer and Geo on the CBS Sports Network and WFAN here in New York. Should we play the third one? I mean, they're so good. We might as well play the third one just for kicks, right?
You can't hide from Adam Gase's eyes. And your smile is like a crazy guy's. I thought by now you'd realize there ain't no way to hide from Adam Gase's eyes.
Oh, man. That is so good.
That is epic.
Right? Really, really excellent.
Eddie Scazzeri from Boomer Geo playing good background singer there.
That's excellent. So UCF has been banging on the desk. Hey, we're legit. We're big time. Let us into the college football playoff. Get us into the Final Four. We don't have a spot in the college football playoff. We want a spot at the big boys table. And they could go undefeated. They could win big bowl games. They could beat SEC teams. But nobody in college football is giving them, in my estimation, real respect of being a power conference equal. But let me tell you, one player certainly is. That would be quarterback Brandon Wimbush. Brandon Wimbush was replaced at quarterback by Ian Book for Notre Dame. And Brandon Wimbush was a pretty good quarterback. I think Brian Kelly wanted more explosive plays. He felt like Book gave him the chance to do so, and Book ran the table, and they were undefeated and got all the way to the college football semifinals. But Wimbush now doesn't want to sit behind Ian Book for the rest of his career, and Wimbush, being a four-star recruit going to Notre Dame, is leaving now for UCF. And think about how this sea change has happened in college football. A quarterback is transferring from Notre Dame to UCF. And it's not just because of opportunity. It's because it's an equal in many ways. UCF doesn't have the television package that Notre Dame does. They're not on NBC every Saturday. But UCF gets attention, and UCF is a top 10 team, and UCF could play in New Year's Six bowl games, and Wimbush is betting on that. Remember, they lost their quarterback, Mackenzie Milton, to that brutal injury late in the year, and right now there's no guarantee that he's going to be ready for spring practice. If Mackenzie Milton comes back and is healthy for the season, then Milton's going to be your starter because everybody loves Mackenzie Milton. But if he's not, and he redshirts, kind of perfect for Wimbush to step in there and get one last year of eligibility, starting quarterback, UCF, then potentially enter the NFL draft, or maybe more importantly, play in the Alliance, which we're all very fired up for coming up the week after Super Bowl. I think that UCF getting these types of kids, get a four-star quarterback recruit that went to Notre Dame and went 13-3 in his Notre Dame career, is saying, let me go to UCF. Let me play for the Knights. And that is a sign that UCF is being taken seriously at that level by players with opportunities, because it's not like Wimbush doesn't have other opportunities. It's not like he doesn't have a scholarship waiting for him at a bunch of different places. He does, but he wants to go to UCF. Says a lot about the Knights program. Also, another quarterback transferring, Ohio State quarterback Tate Martell, is heading to Miami. Now, he has played with a couple of Miami Hurricanes teammates in high school in Las Vegas, and so he tweeted out a picture of those three guys together with really good Photoshop. So clearly the Miami Hurricanes digital team is doing a pretty good job in sending Tate Martell this opportunity to post in his social feeds.
On Facebook right now.
But Martell redshirted after backing up Dwayne Haskins, and now he's got three more years of eligibility. And if he's got to sit out, that's one thing, but the Hurricanes want a legit quarterback. One of the things that clearly was missing from Mark Richt's program the last couple of years, and this year the quarterbacking for the Hurricanes was just a disaster.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
And that happens because Ohio State has Justin Fields, who is unhappy at Georgia because Fromm is ahead of him. So there's this musical chairs of quarterbacks in the transfer game, which has completely kind of turned around college football. And the transfer game has turned around college basketball as well. But at the college football level, this has become a real big deal. You basically have free agency in college football in many ways. And I know coaches hate it because they spend their entire recruiting budgets trying to get these guys on campus finally do, and then they can just leave for a better opportunity for playing time, or if they're unhappy with the coaching staff, etc. But look, if you are the coaches of college football and you are unhappy with it, understand that you have created this mess. If you weren't jumping from school to school for the next highest pay stub, if you were not looking for a raise every year, so you are flirting with this school or flirting with this NFL team, and so that your school has to bring you back and pay you more. If that didn't happen, maybe the kids wouldn't have it in their mind that they should be looking out for their opportunities as well. But coaches flirt with better opportunities all the time unless they are promised more money. And it's filtering down to the kids. Coaches will complain that this free agency of college football transfers is bad for college football. You know what else is bad? College football coaches that always have an eye on their next job. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. I shudder at the thought of Jacob Wilkins. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Fat pig.
Fat pig.
Selfish pig.
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 It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And happy Wednesday morning to you, everybody. 40 minutes past the hour. DA, Damon Amendolara. Each and every morning, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got Sunday morning football coming up this weekend as we'll preview the two championship games. We'll carry you right through Super Bowl Sunday. We'll do Super Bowl Sunday as the final episode of Sunday Morning Football. But we've got Sunday Morning Football this weekend, next weekend for the bye, and then, of course, Super Sunday. Mraz and I will also be heading down to the ATL coming up a week from Sunday. We'll be heading down there for the week of shows on Radio Row. Mraz has already earmarked a number of meals for us. I, of course, handled the lodging. Mraz is handling
our Monday dinner hit. So we at least have three on the board.
Put it on the board! Yes!
That's a good, that's very good, Damon.
I'll just be honest. Monday lunch is not anything extravagant. We're going to Chick-fil-A just to make sure we get it out of the way.
Well, is the Chick-fil-A in Atlanta going to be any different than the Chick-fil-A here?
Yes, it's the home of Chick-fil-A, DA. The sauce is fresher. The chicken's fresher.
The sauce.
Yeah.
The sauce that's sealed?
Yeah, because it's made in Atlanta. You're not even putting it on a plane.
Okay. All right. Anything beyond fast food that I should get excited for?
Yeah, I mean, Monday's not, Sunday night's not considered fast food, but the Varsity, have you ever been there?
No, I have not, but I'm excited to go see that. That'll be
okay,
good.
Okay, yeah. So I have a lot of tips on what to order there.
So really high-end meals were.
Yeah, and then, we're going to hit some barbecue on Monday night. We'll go to Fat Matt's.
I need that in my life.
That's going to be Monday night, so don't fill up on Chick-fil-A for lunch, young man.
Now, is Huge Freeze coming with us to Fat Matt's for barbecue?
As long as they don't charge him for two seats on the plane, I expect him to be down there.
He's going to be down there. But is he invited out with us to eat dinner?
Huge Freeze is invited out with us, as far as I'm concerned, to every single meal he wants to take part in.
Whoa.
Like Wu-Tang said.
As long as he pays his own way, of course.
You're okay with him eating essentially 10 meals with us over the course of the week?
Look, could I get to a point where enough's enough? Yeah. But at least for those first three, again, I'm not going out of my way to invite him, but if he, you know, texts me, calls me, and says, hey, I'm down here, what are you guys doing? I won't hide what we're doing, and he's more than welcome to come. Is that fair?
Okay, will we be hiding by Thursday, Pete?
By Monday.
By Monday night?
Monday night.
Okay. After one meal.
And if I better not hear once from you while we're in that Airbnb. Mraz, listen, if Robbie texts you, no more. I better not hear that from you, the way you've peddled him for months here.
Hugh Freeze.
You sit there and you lie in it. I decide when enough's enough.
I had Huge scheduled for a once-a-week appearance. You've got him sitting in on 10 meals in the same week with us.
You want Huge? You want Huge on this band? You're going to get a lot of Huge in Atlanta.
Well, so now the roles have completely swapped. I want less Huge. You want more Huge.
Well, this is going to be reverse psychology. I'm going to make you never want Huge again.
And I'm going to make you love Huge.
Good. We'll see how we are at the end.
Kill him with the no. No, 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 no.
It just dawned on me. We haven't come up with our yearly sitcom. Is this going to be Real Fat Slobs of Atlanta instead of Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Could be. That's in play. Yeah. We will absolutely have a sitcom spinoff coming up the week of the Super Bowl.
Know this little girl. Her name is Maxine.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet it at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros, or just simply, again, tweet at me, DA on CBS. Nick tweets, DA, what is the ideal fit for Nick Foles next season? I don't think this is Nick Foles asking me about Nick Foles, but perhaps you never know. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I think it's the Jaguars or the Broncos. Those are two teams made to win right now. Is Nick Foles an upgrade over Case Keenum? Yes. Is Nick Foles an upgrade over Blake Bortles? Hell yes. I think either one of those teams makes a lot of sense. Either one of those teams could use a quarterback like Foles to elevate the entire roster. The Super Bowl winners were the Broncos just a couple of years ago. The Jaguars in the AFC title game just last year, 1 year ago. Those are two teams ready to take the next step with good quarterbacking, if not great quarterbacking. I am on record as saying I don't think Nick Foles will ever have the magic that he just had these last two seasons in Philly. But does he deserve a chance to be a starting quarterback? Absolutely so. And when you look across the board at teams with quarterbacks, everybody is looking to develop their own guy, or are developing their own guy, or have the answer. Maybe outside of those two teams. Now, other teams that don't have an answer yet at quarterback have young guys that they're wondering about. But to me, two places that make sense, Jaguars, Broncos, make sense either one of those places. Jaguars are more desperate because Bortles is out. Broncos might spin the wheel with Case Keenum again next season. Washington is interesting because then Nick Foles stays in the division. We don't know if Alex Smith will ever play again. But in terms of a team that I believe could win right away with Foles, either Jacksonville or Denver. Let's get to your cut line, stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Jim Harbaugh is awesome at getting in the headlines. He's awesome at making the bottom line. He's awesome at gaining attention. He's less than awesome at winning football games. He's done it again. He has offered a seventh grader, Isaiah Marshall. He has offered a seventh grader a scholarship to play at Michigan. He watched tape on the 13-year-old quarterback while visiting the school searching for high school prospects in Southfield High in Michigan. I mean, this is just so silly. To be offering a seventh grader is just a way that you show that you're being silly, because there's no way to project how a seventh grader looks as a junior in high school. And also, there's no reason to do this because Jim Harbaugh's not going to be around by the time this kid is college age. Okay? He is seven, he is five, six years away. Really, I guess it's more like 5 years away from attending college. Harbaugh's not going to be there in 5 years. This is merely an attention grab. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. And this is where Harbaugh loses you, because he's willing to do all the silly things, sit in tree houses and sleep on couches and throw the football at the Vatican and offer a seventh grader. But when it comes to beating Ohio State, he gets his ass handed to him.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
So ridiculous. So ultimately ridiculous. Those watching the AFC title game will recognize the name Cleet Blakeman. He's going to be the head official, the referee for this AFC title game. Cleet Blakeman was embroiled in Deflategate. He was working the AFC title game between the Colts and the Patriots as an alternate official. And so he was tasked with weighing the pressure of the Patriots footballs. As noted in the Wells report, Blakeman's air measurements, however, had a different pressure gauge than the other official, which created a discrepancy and led Patriots fans to feel like they were being screwed over. So Patriots fans might suddenly be saying, oh no, the NFL has it in for us. We have the Deflategate guy that's going to be reffing. But hang on. Cleet Blakeman also, before you get all your pennies in a bunch as conspiracy theorists, he repped last year's AFC title game between the Patriots and the Jaguars, and the Pats were very fortunate on a very interesting referee whistle in that game when the Jaguars held the lead late and looked like they had stripped the Patriots, recovered the fumble, and returned it back the other way for a score, and it was whistled dead conveniently. So I don't want to hear how Cleet Blakeman is going to screw over the Pats, because last year Cleet Blakeman was lead official on a game and a play that absolutely went in the Pats' favor.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line this morning. You know, I just think sometimes the guys behind the glass like to really agitate me. Because today, you know, I came in with such a good mood. Title games are here coming up on Sunday. I'm really fired up for this final great weekend of football before to the Super Bowl. Midweek, hump day, feeling fine, doing well. And right out of the chute, I mean, this is the 9:20 segment. This is the first rejoin. And Pete the Body Bilotti has to play the Jacob Wilkins rejoin for the winter meetings. And suddenly, my mind just spiraled into the gutter.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's amazing. We are banning Huge Freeze for life for bad football picks.
Whether we're near the end.
And yet here's Jacob Wilkins with the worst segment in DA show history, and he's allowed to come back on.
Well, it's early in the day.
Not only should he be banned for life, we should send him to a moon colony.
Put us in play for an Eskimo Brothers scenario.
He should never be allowed back on this planet, ironically, because this is the mothership.
The mothership is over.
He should not be allowed back here.
They're like the French crueler.
It stunk, it stinks, and it still makes me mad. You know, I got over my anger towards Richard Justice, MLB.com.
Who is Richard Justice?
Big shot. Oh, suddenly you can't wait through a little break. Fine. I got over my anger towards Bobby Valentine, trying to get Mraz fired. Okay, fine. I'm allowing Art Garfunkel and Jack Kay to come back on the show. I even smiled when I saw a picture of Robbie Rosenhaus and Joey Chestnut together.
I'm not a monkey dance.
I smiled. The only thing that still irks me to no end, the only thing that you could really wipe this smile off my face, is the Jacob Wilkins winter meeting segment.
Well, if I must.
I feel like Deacon Jones looking at a quarterback. I want to rip his head off.
On the ever-emerging CBS Sports Radio Network.
I want to come around the edge, put him into a sack, and beat him with a baseball bat, as Deacon Jones would say.
All right.
He stinks.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It is such a long way down for Jacob Wilkins, who was once considered the preeminent voice of eating challenges here on the DA show. And instead, today, he is persona non grata. He has been wiped off the face of the DA show's landscape. He's not allowed back on.
Wiener.
Especially with drops like that. TJ tweets, enough is enough. Mraz loves Robbie. Now to not have him back on the show just doesn't make any sense. Look, You're speaking my language here. Mraz is talking about inviting Robbie to every one of our meals in Atlanta. Even I don't want him at every one of our meals. Suddenly, Mraz loves Robbie, and we're still going to ban him for life? Ultimately, the rule is stupid. It's dumb. We should have never put it in place. I've got to abide by it. But ultimately, my instinct on Huge Freeze was right. He's a songbird for a new generation. His charm and quick wit and easy smile has clearly charmed the pants off of Mraz, and now he wants to eat every meal with him. Mraz has said on the PGP that his life will now include more Robbie than ever before because of the Battle of the Bulge. So I am validated. I knew it. Unfortunately, this stupid rule is Robbie's never allowed back of the show ever again because he was bad at college football picks. And we have to abide by it. You happy now, Mraz? You love him, and now he's gone for good.
Hey, every meal, we'll see how much you love him after Atlanta.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer here on the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com with a simulcast. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow we continue looking ahead to the AFC and NFC championship games. So stay right there. We'll see you tomorrow and Friday for full coverage. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.